Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. Today's episode is The Holly and Horror, When Pain Piles Up. We are going to go to the 2nd of August, not to find a silver lining, not to tie it up with a pretty bow, but to simply sit together in the truth of what happens when pain piles up. When loss stacks up on top of another until you can't breathe. Until the floor beneath you vanishes. If you have ever whispered, "God, why?" In a hospital bed, at home beside a lifeless body, in a hospital corridor, or just a lonely room, you are not alone. The 2nd of August 2022 for me is the space between the last breath and the first scream. I like to think of it as a moment where the most holy thing and the most horrible thing happen in the same instant. It was not on the other end of a phone call for me. I was holding his hand, just the same way we held hands on our wedding day 23 years earlier. A promise made, a promise kept. In sickness and in health, we lived that vow through strokes, brain surgery, amputation, and now till death do us part. There was no struggle, no panic, just a loving look into my eyes, a look that held a lifetime, and then peace. He closed his eyes and made death look so easy. Just like that, he slipped into eternity. In that sacred, awful, and maybe beautiful moment, the pain was not the soul-shattering loss. It was a pile. The devastating familiarity of it all for me. In 1998, holding my own mother's hand, she asked me for a slice of tomato. A simple human craving, you'd think. I left for 5 minutes, only to come back to find she had slipped into the deep sleep of death. Memories of my parents' grave. My older sister's crush that took her own life. The phantom pain of miscarriages. The exhaustion of all the past battles. They all rose up and collapsed unto me at once. Grief upon grief, crucible upon crucible. The first crack in the floor had happened and I was falling. The days that followed were a blur. How do you plan a funeral for the man you just watched step into heaven? How do you choose the best coffin as a home for your loved one? Maybe let me put it plainly this way. How do you choose a coffin for a Yorkshire man who told you he does not want you to spend any money on an expensive coffin because it will go down anyway? This sacredness of his passing existed along the brutal practicality of death certificates, the undertaker's appointments, choosing the burial place, the pile grew higher and higher. 6 days after his death, the phone rang. It was the regulator for the healthcare business. A routine inspection was due. The inspector on the other side of the phone was harsh. He demanded that I get to the office immediately. I suppose he was doing his job. He warned me that serious consequences will apply if I don't come to the office. Just in that moment, something in me was born from the very depths of brokenness. It snapped into place. A holy boldness, a clarity that only comes when you have nothing left to lose. I told him in a very stern voice that I was not going to do anything until after my husband's funeral, and I did not care about the consequences. My grief was reality. His inspection was for him to deal with. I remember the silence on the other end of the line. I believe this man thought I was lying. But really, who would lie about such a thing? In that moment, I learned that a crucial lesson. I remember the silence on the other side of the line. I believe that man thought I was lying. But who would lie about such a thing? In that moment, I learned a crucial lesson. And this lesson is that brokenness is not weakness. It is a filter. It forces you to see what truly matters, and it gives you the courage to defend it. The inspection was rearranged for 2 weeks after the burial. The same inspector came and saw the truth in my eyes, the raw, unvarnished grief that was upon me. He saw that I was not a negligent business owner, but a grieving widow. And also, he saw that despite all this, everything was in order. The policies were perfect. The clients were satisfied with the services we provided. The business I had built with my husband was a testament to our care. And it was standing even when I was not. It was a moment of quiet vindication, not for me, but for the integrity of our work and the necessity of grace. But the body keeps a score. The immense weight of holding that sacred goodbye, battling the indifference of the system. But the body keeps a score. The immense weight of holding that sacred goodbye. Still running a business, the planning of the funeral, battling different day-to-day challenges had to go somewhere. August the 2nd, 2023, exactly a year from that soul-shattering loss, I woke up and my left side of the body was gone. Not numb, not asleep, just gone. I was betrayed by a body that had already endured too much. The diagnosis of functional neurological disorder, or sometimes referred to as FND. My body's wiring overwhelmed. The pile of trauma. The functional neurological disorder, or sometimes referred to as FND, it was my brain's wiring overwhelmed by the pile of trauma, by death, the weight, the burial, the lifetime of loss had simply short-circuited my brain. 1 August 2nd took my husband, and the next took my body. The pile got higher and more unstable. The free fall continued into a new terrifying darkness. I was now in a very dark and scary place. In that darkness, there are no pretty prayers, only the raw groanings and cries of why? For me, this is a lament, and it is a valid form of worship. The 2nd of August is not just a story, but a scar, the kind that pulses with resurrection, even if I cannot feel it yet. Healing here does not mean the pile is removed. It means we are learning to build a sanctuary within it. It means we notice grace in this free fall and the strength in the community that holds us up in prayer. As some come, a psalm that comes to mind is Psalm 88. It ends in darkness. No praise, no rescue, just raw grief. Yet it made it into scripture. This tells me that even silence, rage, brokenness, is holy. You don't have to tidy up your faith to make it count. Now, I would like to invite you to a solidarity pause. Close your eyes if it is safe to do so. Think of your own painful day. The day it happened, and the agonizing days that followed. What is your date? Now place your hand somewhere on your body. Is it a place that hurts, or maybe just a place that needs kindness right now? Hold your hand there. Take a deep breath, breathe in, and whisper, "I am not alone." Breathe out, "I am still here. I feel your pain, and in the cracks of your brokenness, we find each other." Breathe in. "I am not alone." Breathe out. "I am still here." I am not alone. I am still here. As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.